Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Avatars, ushering in a new beginning. Your hosts are Avatars Peggy Litt and David Cope, who are introducing a new and fresh living spirituality, which will stretch you and cause you to question everything you've learned on your spiritual journey. Get ready for a provocative discussion that will challenge many of your most cherished spiritual beliefs. Now, here are your hosts, The Avatars, Peggy and David.
Good afternoon. This is Peggy and David. We would like to welcome you to our show, The Avatars, ushering in a new beginning, where each week we talk about the life-changing experience of living from the heart. Thank you for joining us. Today we will be talking about stepping out as who we are.
Hi, everybody. This is David. I thought we'd start off the show by defining what avatar means to Peggy and I, because there's a lot of different ways it can be interpreted. And so the definition of avatars that Peggy and I are using it are, an avatar is an individual who has the capacity to raise the consciousness of other people. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, how Peggy and I experience expanding consciousness. Peggy and I don't go around talking and telling people we're avatars. We're just kind of normal people. And we use avatars mostly as a label so other people can understand the experiences that we've had as us. Peggy, can you talk a little bit about how you got started and your background in spirituality and when we first met?
Well, I really don't have a background in spirituality. I've only probably read about 3 books in these 9 years. I have no teachers. I attended no seminars. Everything that we know has unfolded within us. This information we share is not intended to be the right or only way, just what works for us. There is truth at every level of consciousness.
Thanks, Peggy. The next thing I'd like to talk about is who we are and why you might want to listen to us. I think that's important. I got sick after our divorce, and I got chronic fatigue syndrome. And I was very lost because I had never been sick before. And I was taking naps 3 or 4 times a day. And my background has been as a businessman, so it was very difficult for me to be sick. And I went to the doctors, and the doctors said that there was nothing wrong. They couldn't find anything wrong with me. So I went to alternative healers. And I went to one after another, and nobody could seem to help me get better. At that time, I was decided to take a class called the Spiritual Response Therapy. And in Spiritual Response Therapy, I learned how to use the pendulum. And the pendulum became a very important part of my inner self-discovery. And it just so happened that the lady sitting next to me at the class was the president of the Taoist Society of Colorado. We became very good friends, and she became my mentor. And I learned very quickly how to use the pendulum to access information within myself. And as I began to be more comfortable with it, I used it to find out what foods I should eat and how I should work to heal myself, mostly by working in my inner awareness of my emotions and how my emotions contributed to my illness. As I began to go through this period of change, I started expanding in consciousness and was able to grasp new material, and I soon began measuring consciousness and developing very intricate charts on how to measure consciousness. The ability to measure consciousness allowed me to quickly learn how to discern relative truths. And relative truths became very important on my journey because I could tell, for example, what the relative truth was for Buddhism or a certain person's teaching relative to a scale of 1 to 1,000. And it helped me move me along my path to keep searching for higher levels of truth by being able to measure it. And as I became more conscious and aware of these relative truths, it helped expand in my consciousness. And before not long, I started measuring everything I did and calibrating it on a scale of 1 to 1,000. Those of you who might be familiar with David Hawkins' book, Power versus Force, was an important book early on in my journey to help me understand consciousness. The more I used the pendulum, the more sensitive I became, and eventually I internalized the pendulum, which means that I didn't need to use the pendulum, and I could discern within myself the relative truths of any question, a yes or no question. And that became very powerful. And I remember the time that I didn't use my pendulum and I called up Sue Russo, my mentor, and was so excited that I had internalized it because it opened up a whole new opportunity for me, because the pendulum is an external tool. And without the pendulum, I was able to do it internally. As I began to grow and expand in my consciousness, I started outgrowing the books and the teachings that I was when I started off in this, I was in New Age genre. I went to church at the Religious Science, and I slowly began, as I expanded in consciousness, outgrowing the books and the teachings. And before long, I realized that the teachings that I sought so dearly were actually getting in the way of my own inner awareness. And I realized that as we began to, Peggy and I began to expand, that the material and the awareness that we had was constantly changing, which is a very important hallmark of expanding consciousness. Peggy, I'm starting to talk an awful lot. you know me. So would you share a little bit about your experience of expanding consciousness?
Well, I'm the experiential one of the group. When my consciousness was expanding, I would have these episodes of feeling like every cell in my body had electrical charge and was just going really fast. There were times I had to pull over on the side of the road, or I couldn't go in and see a client because I was going through one of these shifts.
What were some of the things that you experienced that were pretty exciting? Remember when we were driving the car with the palm?
I've had numerous experiences. I didn't really understand what they meant at the time. The one David was talking about is we were going up to the mountains on a Sunday morning, and I had shorts on. And all of a sudden, I looked down on my thigh, and this handprint was coming up from the inside of my leg. So the inside handprint was coming out of the outside of my thigh. And I just went, David, what is this? And we didn't really understand what was going on, but we just went on our hike and had a nice day. Well, David, with his pendulum and the internet, found that there was an ascended master called Lord Maitreya that was leaving his handprint in different areas around the world. And that handprint was exactly what was coming through my thigh. So that was just one experience that we had. Another experience, probably the first one I had, was I was sleeping and I woke up with this voice saying, I am the Holy Spirit and I have come to take away your original sins. Now, there was something very safe about that voice, and I just kind of went, okay. And there was a moment of silence, and all of a sudden, I couldn't move. And I thought, oh my gosh, I must have sins in my fingernails. I can't even move. And that lasted for just, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds or so. And gradually I started moving and I could roll over. Now, did I think I actually had my sins taken away? No. I think that was context for me to understand what I believed were sins is possible to let go of. Another thing that happened about that same time was I woke up and Mother Mary was sitting on the pillow beside me, just looking very lovingly at me. I have experienced the Ascended Master Jesus in my body as me quite often. How does that feel? Extreme kindness and compassion and warmth. And there was another Ascended Master I have experienced in me. And I did not know who he was either. His name is Sanat Kumara. And how I experience him in me as me is extreme strength. It's kind of like the hammer in the movie Thor. Just there is no budging. It's just the way it is. This is kind of hard for me to talk about these things because at the time they happened, I thought they were things happening to me. Now I understand that everything I experience is me. I have also gone through enlightenment and bliss. At those times, there was no self in that experience. So I knew that I was more than that, and I had to keep going. I've had three experiences of dying on this journey, and I believe those are also just context for me. The first time I died, I was like having a stroke in my head, and to me, that was me telling me at some point I would quit living from my head. The second time I died, I had a heart attack. And so I guess in time, I will be outgrowing living from the heart also. The third time I died, I heard, "You are about to lose the last of your humanness." I am not sure what that means yet, but my guess is you guys, anyone listening, may be able to share what that experience is going to be as we continue on with our show.
That was great. Nice job. This is difficult for Peggy and I because we've kind of lived a very quiet and secluded life, and being able to share this on the radio show is a big step for us because we really never thought of us other than just Peggy and David. You know, Peggy grew up in South Dakota and I grew up in Maine, and we come from very humble backgrounds, and the farthest thing that either one of us ever imagined was to be having experiences of expanding consciousness and shifts of awareness. Those are the things that happen to everybody else, not to us. So This radio show really is a good opportunity for us to step out. And it's really very consistent with the concept of living from your heart. Living from your heart is not something that you achieve by meditating. It's something that you achieve by stepping out in life and and being the best you can, because in stepping out in life and being the best you can, it always puts you in a position of being vulnerable and growing. And that's what actually what Peggy and I are doing this radio show, is following the practice of living from the heart and pushing ourselves into situations that we can grow and expand. Because as you learn in this show, that the experience of living from the heart is about growth, and inherent in growth is change. And for lots of people, change can be very scary and hard. And I guess Peggy smiled. It was scary and hard for us to do the show, but it's nice to see you smiling. So
this is Peggy and David sharing with you today about the transformative experience of living from the heart. We'll be right back after a short break.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Do you or a loved one suffer from the debilitating experience of grief? The experience of grief may be one of the most misunderstood experiences of mankind. Grieffree.org is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to educate the public in a revolutionary grieving process called healthy grieving. Traditional grieving processes are primarily used as support systems to help people cope with the painful experience of loss. The healthy grieving process is a healing system that deals directly and effectively with the underlying cause of grief. Unlike conventional grieving processes, which deal with the loss of the relationship, healthy grieving deals with the loss of one's self-identity. This radical shift in perspective allows individuals to make rapid and transformational changes that move them quickly through the grieving cycle into the experience of love and acceptance. Visit grieffree.org for more details and to learn how to take back your life from the painful experience of grief.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live talk radio Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change. You are listening to The Avatars, ushering in a new beginning. To connect with our program today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send any questions you may have in an email to peggysheart@q.com. Let's return to the avatars, Peggy and David, who have been sharing how our spiritual beliefs can inhibit our experience of living from the heart. Now get ready for more intriguing discussion on a radical new way of experiencing yourself and life.
This is Peggy and David sharing with you today about the transformative experience of living from your heart. Today we're talking about coming out of the closet.
So hi, this is David. We decided to name our first episode called Out of the Closet because, as I mentioned before the break, that this is a big step for us because Peggy and I never really thought that we'd ever have to be in a position of sharing something as personal as this and then calling ourselves the avatars. But Peggy, tell us a little bit about how long we've known that something like this was coming.
About 7 or 8 years ago, we knew that the information we were getting was extremely important. But at that time, I thought if I could act it, I was it. And we couldn't figure out why we weren't stepping out. But we jokingly said we must not be all the way cooked yet. This radio show is really our first major step in stepping out and living from the heart. We had to try and we're having to try and do this show without a script because then we're in our heads. So we're doing this totally unprotected without any constructs to lessen the scariness of it.
One of the things I wanted to share is the concept of expanding consciousness, and how Peggy and I know that we can raise the consciousness of other people is because we've been working with a small group of people in Denver, Colorado for the past 7 or 8 years, and we call them spiritual pioneers. This is a group of about 20 people. Some people have been in the group 7 or 8 years. Hi, Carol, and hi, Val. And then other people have come in relatively recently. But we've been working with this group of spiritual pioneers because we've been giving them new information. As our consciousness expands, we keep changing the contextual material that we teach them. And this is really one of the hallmarks of expanding consciousness. And these people in the group have been very brave, trusting and following us through our expansion of consciousness and teaching them as our consciousness evolves. And lots of new topics keep evolving, and actually living from the heart is one of the more recent contextual topics that we've worked with. Early on, I called the group the ACS, the Accelerated Consciousness System, and we were using back then lower consciousness concepts of symbols and sounds, and we would work on our beliefs. And as it evolved, it evolved as Peggy and I expanded in consciousness. So one of the things of my gift of measuring consciousness is I would measure the consciousness of each of the people in the group, and I could even break it down into their consciousness of prosperity or their self-esteem or personal power. We had a very good way of measuring and determining how people's consciousness was being influenced. And then as time went by, the contextual material was expanding, and that was also an indication that we were expanding in consciousness, because we realized that what we were doing in the group, there was no books, there wasn't anything, any resource that we could go to, whether it was on the internet or a book that was telling us about what we were experiencing. And so as we began to develop, the group got smaller and smaller as the journey got harder and harder, and we had to look more deeply into ourselves and keep working on the concepts that we were teaching. Peggy's role in the group is to work individually with the people to help them work through the difficult struggles of the inner work that happens by the expansion of consciousness. So we found that without support, the people get lost and are overwhelmed with the process of expanding consciousness. And Peggy does a wonderful job of working with individuals, helping them and guide them through the experience. And the reason why she can do this without any background, remember, Peggy doesn't have a PhD. She hasn't gone to theology school. She was a salesman in a printing industry, and all of her gifts have evolved within her. And because she has experienced all of this in herself, she can teach others. And that's really the gift of expanding consciousness, because we're experiencing it ourselves. We can teach others about the path that as they follow behind us. One of the things that I mentioned in the description about what we'd be talking about is we call this a living spirituality. And to me, a living spirituality is a very important concept, because when I was on my quote-unquote spiritual path before my consciousness expanded, I was searching for different answers to life. And one time I called it the religion of the month, and it finally found the Church of Religious Science. And that was a very important part of my spiritual growth for many years. And one of the things I realized once, I was sitting in church and the minister was talking to me, and I was the only person in the room. And he was speaking directly to me, and he was talking to me about the things I should be doing in my life. And I was all excited, and, you know, rah, 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 I'm gonna make this happen. I'm going to change. And I remember I would leave church, and Monday would come, and before I know it, I was right back into the old patterns and habits. And over time, I've got to call that the church syndrome. And the church syndrome is that when we are our spiritual individuals, we call ourselves spiritual people. However, the problem with spirituality for me and for many people is, how do we sustain our spiritual awareness from the time of church and then into our daily lives? And a living spirituality, which is what living from the heart is when there is no separation between your experience in your spiritual life and your experience in your life as a mother or a father or as an employee, that it's consistent and there's no gap between the experiences. So living from the heart is a living spirituality, and it allows a person no longer to have the separation between them as a spiritual person and their experience in their life. Peggy, I wanted to talk a little bit about helping people understand what does living from the heart mean, because it has a lot of different possible meanings, and it sometimes can be very trite. What you came up with an interesting quote about living from the heart that I wanted everybody to hear.
Well, it became very clear to me that it is not possible to live from the heart. It is not possible to be living from the heart from the mind. The mind only gives us a cheap knockoff version of the way everything really is.
And what do you mean by a cheap knockoff? That sounds a little...
Well, if we're experiencing ourselves through our minds, we are experiencing ourselves through our beliefs and constructs. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like every belief and construct we have is like a saran wrap enclosing us, and each of those saran wrap enclosures numbs us out some. And I hear so many people say they can't feel anything anymore. And that is because they are living their life through their mind and constructs.
Thank you, Peggy. That was great. One of the things that differentiates this experience of living from the heart that Peggy and I are working with the group is when I learned how to use the pendulum, I realized that it was important when I started working with other people to learn how to do muscle testing, kinesiology. And I was taught by one of the top people in the country how to do muscle testing, because if I measured people with a pendulum, it was as if I was telling them what was their experience was, but through muscle testing, it allowed them to have their own personal experience and know whether something was their truth or not. And if you're not familiar with muscle testing, it if you ask yourself a question, or if I ask a person a question, it's a yes, the arm will stay strong. And if it's a false answer, my arm will go weak. And by learning how to do muscle testing, I really took the concepts I learned with the pendulum and started applying it with other people. And I was able to slowly over time develop the use of muscle testing in a therapy setting that would allow people to bypass the constructs of their mind and access an inner truth and awareness that wasn't available to them because it was obscured by the mind. So living from the heart, an experience that Peggy and I teach and share with this group, fundamental to that process is the use of muscle testing, because without muscle testing, the mind gets in the way and takes us down a different path than the heart would. And the use of muscle testing is actually accesses what the heart would be aware of and guides people in a different direction. We also, in the group, we learned to something that's called the body pendulum. And I learned that actually in that same spiritual response therapy, somebody happened to show me with a packet of Sweet and Low. If I held it in my chest, I would lean backwards because it was a negative experience for me. And if I took something like something that was good for me, my body would go forward. And over time, I began to realize the importance of adapting that to the people in the group, because then they could use the body pendulum to find their own inner truth and their own inner awareness. Muscle testing was great, but even that was a step beyond the body pendulum, because many people thought that that their arm was telling them what to do, or that I was influencing it. But with the body pendulum, it really changed the dynamics of what we were doing in the group, because then it put the power back into each individual to be able to access their own inner awareness. And we've been teaching the body pendulum for 5 or 6 years, and for many people, Peggy and I do it, and the group, and we use it as a tool not only to find out our own inner awareness, but also it teaches us how to let go of control. The mind's purpose is to give us the false sense that we have control in our lives, and the use of the body pendulum is very important to outgrow the mind and its inherent need to be in control and to learn to trust your own inner awareness. This own inner awareness is critical to the experience of living from the heart, because as Peggy said, if we cannot experience living from the heart, from the mind, so we it has to be a process and a way for us to develop to outgrow the use of the mind. It's almost like we were taught that we are right-handed, and all of a sudden now we're saying, okay, don't use your right hand anymore. You have to use your left hand. Well, the natural response to people would be to keep going back to the right hand. But if you keep training the left hand, you can actually become very comfortable using the left hand. That's very much like living from the heart and learning to outgrow the experience of the mind so that you can be in tune to your own inner awareness. I looked up on the internet some of the examples of living from the heart, and I thought that was important so that we could differentiate a little bit about what Peggy and I are teaching and why it's different from the things that are out there. And one of the things that that the heart is called is the seat of the soul. And if you read the description of our radio show, one of the things that we would like to prepare you for is that some of the things that we're going to talk about might be very provocative and may cause you to question some of the most cherished beliefs that you have. And one of the things that we've learned that when you live from the heart, that the heart does not need to have the experience of the spirit of the soul, that the spirit of the soul is actually an experience of the mind. And when one lives from the heart, one is complete. And as we go on in this in the show, we're going to share a little bit more how that works. But I wanted you to know that the experience that Peggy and I teach is the heart is not the seat of the soul, because the soul is actually a concept of the mind, because we believe that in the mind that there's something that is more than how we experience ourselves. Another thing I read on the internet about the heart, that the heart is the seat of the emotional realm. And we want you to understand, and this, again, is going to be difficult for people to understand, that when you live from the heart, there are no emotions. And I know that's really hard for a lot of people to think of, and it's scary. The emotions are really are caused by the mind, and the emotions are unresolved feelings about ourselves. When you live from the heart, you become complete within yourself, and you know who you are. So there is no part of you that you don't want to know and understand. So your emotions begin to fade away. And
so, David, does that mean that we're going to be a bunch of robots?
I know. Everybody thinks, oh my gosh, what's my life going to be like without emotions? And actually, when you begin to understand that emotions for many people are what gives them the vitality in their life, but when you begin to experience in the heart, you really come from a place that are much deeper, more clear, and much more moving than the experience that you might call emotions. Another thing that I read about the heart is that the heart is where truth is. And another thing that I learned on my journey is that truth is always relative to the consciousness of a person, and that ultimately there is no truth. The truth really is a resonance, a frequency that we are drawn to. And that when you experience yourself from the heart, that there is no need for a truth, because you are your own truth. And it becomes superfluous to think or to need to know that there is a truth. Is there anything you can think of you'd like to add, Peggy, at this point? I wanted to read the definition of living from the heart that I wrote, because definitions are really important. It's going to help differentiate what we're about. Living from the heart is really self-love, and self-love is defined as the willingness to be vulnerable for the sake of growth. An open heart is experienced as stepping into life anew, to start again and again in a new and fresh way. It's about taking full responsibility for one's life. A deep awareness of I create my life experiences is experientially being complete with oneself, no longer needing external validation for the experience of oneself. Hopefully you can see that the experience of self-love is really not what we might have been taught about. It's not about taking care about yourself. It's really about doing the things that are hard things in life. And living from the heart really is about knowing and being willing to be vulnerable for the sake of the growth. Though living from the heart, as I mentioned earlier, can sound like a very common experience, we want you to know that the experience that we're introducing as living from the heart is quite different. And this foundation is self-love, which we will talk more about in a future show. I want to talk a little bit about being a grown-up adult.
David, we'll talk about this after a break. This is Peggy and David sharing with you today about the transformative experience of living from the heart. We'll be right back after a short break.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Do you or a loved one suffer from the debilitating experience of grief? The experience of grief may be one of the most misunderstood experiences of mankind.
GrieffreeORG is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to educate the public in a revolutionary grieving process called healthy grieving. Traditional grieving processes are primarily used as support systems to help people cope with the painful experience of loss. The healthy grieving process is a healing system that deals directly and effectively with the underlying cause of grief. Unlike conventional grieving processes, which deal with the loss of the relationship, healthy grieving deals with the loss of one's self-identity. This radical shift in perspective allows individuals to make rapid and transformational changes that move them quickly through the grieving cycle into the experience of love and acceptance. Visit grieffree.org for more details and to learn how to take back your life from the painful experience of grief.
Join Patricia Raskin, the host of Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com, Monday at 11 Pacific. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call to Positive Living, Mondays at 11 Pacific time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
On the program Inside Out, our outsides match our insides. Join host Beth Green, along with co-host James Maynard, for an insightful weekly journey that lets us all be real with no boundaries. We'll discuss current events, interview amazing guests, challenge old ideas, and see ourselves and our world more clearly. It's about you as much as us. So you're invited to call in, write in, and most of all, tune in. Listen for Inside Out, live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. You are listening to The Avatars, ushering in a new beginning. To connect with our program today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send any questions you may have in an email to peggy'sheart@q.com. Let's return to the avatars, Peggy and David, who have been sharing how our spiritual beliefs can inhibit our experience of living from the heart. Now get ready for more intriguing discussion on a radical new way of experiencing yourself and life.
Welcome back. This is Peggy and David, the hosts of The Avatars, ushering in a new beginning. Today we are talking about coming out of the closet.
Thanks, Peggy. Before the break, I was talking a little bit about what living from the heart is about, and I wanted to share another little clarification that for me, living from the heart is really being a grown-up adult. It's being fully engaged in life, in the experience of yourself. Unlike enlightenment, which is the experience of no self, living from the heart is developing a unique and individualized experience of yourself, fully engaged in life. It's almost like the path to enlightenment is in one direction, and the goal of enlightenment is oneness, non-duality, and connection with all there is. The experience of living from the heart is actually in the opposite direction, and it brings you to not to the experience of no self, but actually to experience of yourself fully defined and aware as an individual, unique to in yourself. I often heard that in the journey to enlightenment, we're like a drop of water that's separated from our source, and once we become put the water back into the drop of water, we became one with all. Well, the process of living from the heart is actually like a pool of school of fish, where each fish is individualized yet moves in unison as a whole. So living from the heart is quite dramatically different than what we might have expected to be, and it's in an opposition to what we typically understand of what enlightenment might be, or the journey to enlightenment. An interesting book that I read 5 or 6 years ago that you might be interested is called Jed McKenna's book, Spiritual Enlightenment, The Damnedest Thing. And he really explains the process of an experience of enlightenment versus what he calls being a grown-up adult. And if you're interested in understanding the difference, that might be a good book to read to understand the direction that living from the heart takes. Peggy, I've been doing an awful lot of talking. Do you want to talk a little bit about what living from the heart means to you?
Sure. 9 years ago, I was outside in the rain talking to David on my cell phone. And all of a sudden, I said, David, I'm seeing, but not from my eyes. At that time, I still believed in the soul and spirit. So I thought, well, I guess I must be seeing from my spirit. But everything was crystal clear and understood. There was no fear experienced in this experience. I just understood everything. What I realize now is it was me seeing life without my constructs for the first time.
What is a construct?
A construct is what I used to think were just mild passing thoughts. I didn't realize I was living my life through them. An example of a construct, most of us deep down feel either unlovable or unloved. If you have that going on if I have that going on in me, no one can make me feel lovable or loved. Living from the heart is living without constructs. It is living and loving without protection. It is being alive for the first time. I can feel me in my body as me. Before, I just had a body. I didn't feel me in it. To me, living from the heart is never being alone when I'm by myself. It is feeling, real feeling, but it's how I feel about myself. It is taking responsibility for the very birth of a thought because I know how it will affect my experience of me. It means I no longer have to try and act it. I am it. It means learning something new about myself every day. Last night I wrote a sticky for me to read this morning, and that said, today I will experience the me I have yet to know, the me I will remember I am. Can you begin to understand how new and exciting every day is if you're learning and experiencing something new about you every day? Living from the heart is total compassion for another because I know I am just like them. There is no judgment. My mind no longer has a say. I will only be the best I can be. I won't have back doors anymore. It means when I look in the mirror, I can feel the value I have for myself. Those are just a few of the experiences you'll have from living from your heart.
That was beautiful, Peggy. Thank you. It was very moving. Thanks for sharing that. Peggy's and my experiences are quite different. I have always had knowings and self-awarenesses that unfold within me. Peggy is very experiential, and her experiences are very lovely and moving, and it's great when we can share them together. And it's really cool to be on this journey with somebody. You know, normally if you're in a couple, the man or the woman is the one that's having experience. But the joy of this journey for Peggy and I is that we get to share this together, and we grow and expand in consciousness and share, you know, when we go camping and and share our journeys and talk in ways that we can't talk to anybody else about. And it's so gratifying to have this experience and grow with somebody that's such an important aspect and is doing the same things as we're doing together. I asked a couple of people in our group that I shared with you before that we're part of a group teaching living from the heart, and I have a number of callers depending on time. And the first caller that I have is Mimi, and she did a beautiful writing of her own experience of living from the heart that I thought she would share. And if Mimi's on the phone, could you come on and share what your experience of living from the heart is?
Hi, David. Peggy,
are you there? Hi, Mimi.
Thank you. We appreciate you being there today.
It's lovely to hear your voice on a radio show.
Thank you for joining us.
So you were wanting, I am sharing my piece of living from the heart. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this is actually a piece that I wrote a while ago after an experience that I had myself that was very touching and moving. And this is basically my understanding and what I kind of, the first glimpse that I had about living from the heart. So living from my heart for me is the integration of being responsible, being vulnerable, and only having one choice of doing what is in my best interest 100% of the time in all aspects of my life without any thought. For me, being responsible, being vulnerable, and what's in my best interest were still separate pieces that I tried to put together and do the best I can like a puzzle. They are experiences I come in and out of, concepts I strive to achieve and think about, but there is still a level of separation from me. Living from my heart is the deepening of all of these concepts for me in a way where each concept is inseparable and integrated and cannot be a concept but a constant living experience. It becomes real, the only way to live and the only way I can experience myself with no separation, no thought, nothing to analyze and consider. Living from my heart takes everything I have been striving to understand and do, and it becomes real and inseparable because it is who I am. I like me when I'm not in my head and I'm coming from my heart. I have no reasons to second guess, to compare, nothing to worry about because I show up genuine and it's the best I can be. So why would I have anything to worry about when I'm not motivated by anything and I am not trying to hurt or please anyone? So that was the piece that I wrote a while ago from one of my own personal experiences of coming from my heart.
Thanks, Mimi. I don't think our audience really understands how hard this is to be like naked without any protection. So we really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. And I'm feeling it. So
beautiful. Thank you for joining us today.
We almost cried too.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we have another. Thank you for calling. We're going to have Maury come on next. Hopefully we have enough time. And thanks for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you, David. Peggy. See you soon.
Thanks,
okay.
Mimi.
Okay.
See you tonight.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Hi.
Well, hi there, Maury. Thanks for joining us, David and Peggy. We only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to see if you could quickly share how important the muscle testing was for you, because you've been on a lot of spiritual journeys.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that, because it was really the game changer for me. I have been on other paths, and, you know, they had offered some great stuff, and there were great moments of connection and community and insights. But the whole time, I was able to still hold on to my basic stories and my basic identity and still avoid what I didn't want to look at and didn't want to know about myself. I mean, I was saying, oh, I want to know myself, I want to connect with myself, but that wasn't exactly true. And what happened when I met David was all of that changed. Because I couldn't lie to myself anymore because we had this objective way of knowing what's true and not true. When I first met David, I used to tease him saying, like, I used to call them the truth meter, and say, like, you've got like a meter in the center of your chest, like a Geiger counter, that goes off when somebody isn't telling the truth. And so all the stories I had about myself and my life had an objective measure for me to know that's not true. So I'd say, oh, I love my job. And David would go, let's muscle test that. And many of the lies that I was telling myself were exposed. I didn't even know I was lying to myself because these things were so much a part of my self-identity.
Amori.
And so this was what led me to really start to experience the truth of myself and where growth started to really happen for me.
That was awesome. You know, I'm sorry that we're running into the end of the show. That was beautiful. And thanks for being available for us as we start closing up the show.
Thanks for teaching me how to be honest.
Thank you.
It's what has contributed to my growth.
Thanks, Maury.
Okay, thank you both. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. We enjoyed sharing with you our first episode of the transforming experience of living from the heart. I hope you will be joining us next week when we discuss why doing what is in your best interest is critical to the experience of living from your heart. This is Peggy and David. Have a nice day.
Thank you for joining Avatars Peggy Litt and David Cope as they share with you a new and expansive way of experiencing yourself and life. Don't miss next week's program as they introduce an amazing and transformative process that will cause you to rethink how you perceive and experience yourself and life. Please tune in again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Remember, living from the heart cannot be learned from a book, nor understood from the mind. It can only be experienced.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.